All right. So we are going to be in Acts chapter 10, but it'll be a little while before we get there. Wanted to welcome you all here today. This is our 85th anniversary, and just wanted to talk about that just a little bit, about the beginnings of our church. Actually, we're going to talk about the pre-beginnings of our church. Our church had... Well, we just had some free beginnings, and it started in 1877. And in 1877, by the Turner Cemetery over there, by the funeral home, there was a schoolhouse, over there. I can't remember the name of the school. P.B. Philly was the teacher, and he was also a Methodist minister. And so he would... Well, they had an alligator circuit, they called it, the alligator circuit. And this is, the preachers would go around, and they'd come here a couple of times a month, and they would preach, teach Sunday school, do weddings, baptize, and that sort of thing, just for a couple of times a month. And then in 1894, from Duncan Woods, which is over by Vider, I understand, is that right? Okay, guy from Duncan Woods, Reverend Marianne Stevenson, he was leading a group of disciples and believers in this area. They eventually started a church, and it would be called Prairie View Baptist Church. Now, does anybody know where? What is it? Spring Gully, across from the old Sam Hatton place. Does anybody know where it is? I could just tell you anything, couldn't I? It was at Spring Gully, and it was across from the old Sam Hatton place. And they started this little church there, and they called it Prairie View Church. And the reason it was called Prairie View, I guess, is because it stood out in the middle of nowhere. It was the only thing around, and eventually this community took that name. Prairie View community for the church and for itself. Eventually, it becomes Bridge City later on. But the 1915. Anybody remember what happened in 1915? Yeah, hurricane. A devastating hurricane hit Galveston, and it was a Category 4. Hit Galveston, and the church, Prairie View Church, took some extensive damage, more than they could repair. And so the people were relegated to meeting in their homes for prayer. A few people meet in this home, a few people meet in this home, and a few people would meet in that home. This went on for 25 years. I want you to get a picture of that. 25 years of people meeting and praying and asking God to do something to bring a church to this area. 25 years. We act like we ought to be able to pray one time and we ought to get an answer. Yeah. 25 years. The people prayed and prayed and prayed. And then in 1940, I'll get to that in a minute. Then in 1940, Central Baptist Church from Port Arthur came and did a Bible school. And it was as a result of that Bible school. That Bible school really became a catalyst for the church to start. But that happened so fast, and the church was ready to start, obviously. They came and they brought a Bible school, and that's why children have always played a big role in the life of this church and the education of children and the schools. And you know, this had a great preschool here at one time, and that's always been a big part of this church. Shortly thereafter, and when I say shortly thereafter, and this is why I say it all, they were ready to start a church. Shortly thereafter, they voted to start a Sunday school, an adult Sunday school. And then after that, It was on July 11th, 1940, that the first church was organized. July 11th, 1940, the first church was organized here. I say here, might not have been here. Does anybody know if it was here? Don't know? Okay. July 21st, the church voted to spend $100, give it to Miss Kibbe, for land. Was that this land? Can anybody tell me that? I believe it was. Okay, so her actual, her maiden name was Bland. So she was part of the Bland family. Mr. Bland owned at that time almost all of Bridge City, the land that it's on. And the church became known as Blandale Baptist Church. Blandale. When did its name change? I should have looked that up. Anyhow, Blandale Baptist Church. But anyhow, you know what made it possible was the bridge. In 1938, that bridge was built right there. And that's what made all of this possible. I say all of this, that's what made this area became a thriving community. It became a community where people moved to. It became a place that people could now get to, where they used to have to take the ferry before. And the bridge, it became a bridge. A couple of things from Acts chapter 7, they fit. Acts chapter 7, I'm going to read the first part of it. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave him alms generously to the people and who prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he was clearly seen in a vision, an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he had observed him, he said he was afraid. And he said, what is it, Lord? And so he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before the Lord. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. His lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, and from among those who waited on him continually. And so when he explained these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. God's going to open a way. Now remember, 25 years of prayer. 25 years of prayer preceded them coming over that bridge. 25 years of prayer. They prayed for 23 years before there was even a bridge. Before there was even a bridge. And they began to pray for this church. And they began to pray for what God would do in this church. And they began to pray for what God would do with a church here. God opened the way. He'll open the way for us too. He will prepare the hearts. Listen, Cornelius was ready. He was ready. He was a man who loved God, who gave alms, who prayed to God, and he was ready. He just needed to understand the way. He just needed to understand the way of salvation, and that God was going to give him away. Excuse me, right quick. I am parched. Couldn't have anything to... Couldn't have anything to do with being at the beach all week. He was prepared. Cornelius was prepared. And he He was willing to give his heart to God. He was praying. Peter was praying, and God was working. We were praying. They were probably praying for many years, and God was working. And God built a bridge, and they came. They came. He will prepare our hearts. Sometimes we need a push. You know, sometimes we need a push from God. You know, it's funny that in June there was a Bible school, in July there was a Sunday school, and then also in July there was a church. You can tell that it was ready already. It was already prepared, already had a group of people, already ready, but the plans were set in motion. Bible school became the catalyst. Sometimes in our lives, we just need a little push. We just need a push. We need someone to say, okay, let's go. Now, I don't know if that's what was happening. I'm going to say that it wasn't. But sometimes we do need a push. You know, we've done a lot of things here in this church. We did picking up the mantle, and now's the time, and all of this kind of stuff. We've done all kinds of things. We've done Bible school, and they've been great Bible schools, and we've done lots of things, but there's one thing that we haven't done. We haven't gone. Gone where? Gone anywhere. Gone outside, even. We haven't gone. We haven't gone to the community. We haven't gone to the world. We haven't gone to them and said, God loves you, and told them God loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. God, we have to go. We have to overcome our prayer. We have to overcome and ask God to open up the way. And then we have to go. We have to go. Amen. You know, Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, teaching them to observe whatsoever, all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We have to go. We're not going to be able to sit around and watch this place mysteriously fill up. We're not going to be able to sit here, come and worship, and watch baptismal waters get stirred. We're going to have to go. We're going to have to tell people about salvation. That flood is really bothering me. I don't know why. I guess because there was children were a big part of what was washed away. But even if it was adults, I mean, where were we? I mean, some of them were from here, Lumberton, Beaumont, that area. Where have we been? Where were we? Have we gone? Have we gone into the world? Have we told them about the prayers of Christ? Let me read some more. The next day, as they went on their journey and they drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened, an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him, and he let down to the earth. And in all of it, and in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times and was taken up into heaven. So he had this dream, he had this vision, and it was a sheet coming down out of heaven. And there were all kinds, obviously some unclean animals, some with hooves, pigs, which was for the Jewish people a no-no. And he said, get up and eat. Rise, kill, eat. And he said, oh no, Lord, I will never, never eat that right there. And he says, what God has cleansed, let no man call common. We're going to have to overcome our prejudices. We're going to have to overcome our dislike. That's not the word I'm looking for. Our misunderstanding of other people. We don't understand them. Maybe they have physical differences, and we don't know what to say, and we don't know how to act, and we're going to have to overcome that. And we're going to have to overcome it with the power of God and with the presence of God in our lives. What can we do? We're going to have to see God, and we're going to have to love people. And loving people, I keep saying this, I've said this last few times, we're going to have to love people just like they loved us. We're going to have to turn around and love somebody else in a way that would promote the kingdom of God. We're going to have to, even when it seems illogical, we're going to have to go. Even when it seems irresponsible, we're going to have to go. We're going to have to pray that He'll open the way, and He will open the way. We're going to have to overcome prejudices, and we can overcome prejudices, and then we're going to have to go, and we can go. Stand up with me, if you would. I don't know where you are. I know where our church is. And we've got a great church. Don't get me wrong. We've got a good church. But the problem is, we're not going. We're not going. And that's just the bottom line. And that's pointing at me too. I have to lead the way in that. If we'll go, God will do what God can do. And whatever you need to do today, if you'll come right down here, pray with me about whatever it is, God will do it. If you need Christ, if you'll come and pray that you need Christ, He'll come into your life. If you need to pray for our community right down here, pray, God will do that, begin that work. Don't get tired of praying. Don't give up the praying. Pray and pray and pray.